Derech Hashem, the way to Hashem, Hashem's path. This work, which was written by Rav Moshe Luzzatto, is a remarkable book. It tells you how to go from where you are towards knowledge of Hashem. So the same way, if you're walking in the street and somebody were to say, where are you going? And you say, I have no idea, they can't give you good directions. The assumption is that we want a relationship with God and we could come to have it. So with that, with wasting no further time, let's go right into the first chapter. So he begins by talking about, okay, the obligations that we have towards knowing Hashem. So he says, Kol ish mi Yisrael tzorich sheyamin v'yeda sheyesham matzui v'yishon kadmon v'nitzchi v'hu shemtzi u'mamtzi et kol hanimtza b'metziut v'hu eloka baruch hu. Let's take apart the sentence. So he begins by saying every Jewish person is obligated to both believe and know. So notice he doesn't say just believe or just know, but to believe and to know. Now when you're talking about this being an obligation, that means that everyone has the capacity to both believe and know. What's belief? What's knowledge? So belief is recognizing that everything comes from Hashem. Everything has one source, and if the source doesn't feel good to us, it's there for tikkun. Knowledge means being able to accurately describe Hashem's presence in the world. So the way you come to real emunah is through emes. The more you could see Hashem's presence, the more your heart will take you to a place of where you say, and there's more. Okay, so what do you know? What do you believe? So the first is that he's the first being. What does that mean? So it means if you were to ask somebody, well, where does everything come from? Let's say they would bring it back to the Big Bang. What question would you still have? Where did that come from? So anything physical comes from something pre-existent that's physical. So when you're talking about Hashem being the first presence, you're talking about a non-physical presence, which is the source of our emunah. And he says, and this is what brought everything about. And this is what we mean when we say God. So when we say God, we're talking about the first cause of all things. So what does that say to us concretely? When you apply anything else as being the first, meaning I lost the job because somebody said something bad about me to the boss, which may have been the direct cause, but the ultimate cause goes back much, much further and earlier. Everything comes from Hashem's will. You also have to know, Shematzui Hazayet Barach Shmo, Ein Amitat Metziuto Museget Zulato Klal. Vagzeno Dabo, Shum Matzui Shalem Bachomin Eshlimut, Vonim Tzabo Chisaron Klal. So, when you're talking about what we really know about God, it's tricky, because our vocabulary is limited. So I want to say, if you say God is great, what does the word great mean? What do you think of when you say the word great? A big person, the universe? It's smaller than what Hashem is. So any description inherently limits Hashem. So we'll use descriptions because we don't have any words. But make no mistake, the descriptions are not accurate presentations. So I want to take you to another place. So here, some of you know the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah being being thrown into the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, they wouldn't worship according to a state religion. They were sentenced to death. Okay, so far, so good. There was an argument, the Talmud tells us, between the angel of fire and the angel of hail. Okay, the angel of hail wanted to bring hail onto the fiery furnace so that it would be extinguished through the hail. The angel of fire says, that doesn't prove anything. And he said, I want to do it. What are we talking about? So one of the illusions that we have is that Hashem is somehow held down to his laws. So if you have a fire, and you can say, well, a fire is very strong, so what could Hashem do? He could put it out with hail. That means there are two strong things, fire and hail. But you don't get that Hashem is stronger than either of them. If you're able to put out fire with fire, that tells you that the natural laws really have no essential being, which is what we're trying to get towards understanding. Okay. Rav Seno Dabo, Shumatsui Shalem B'chomine Shlemut. He's completely whole. V'lonim Tzabochi Saran Klal, and nothing is lacking. So what do you mean when you say nothing is acting? So here are some words that we use. God wanted, God couldn't say, he had to. So all of these are phrases that we use to describe a relationship, but not essential reality. So this is like a parent who chooses not to give a child, let's say, a treat. He says, no treat for you. That doesn't mean the parent has a lack and the lack is the treat and therefore he'll withhold the treat from the child. No. The parent sees what's good for the child and therefore withholds the treat. So similarly, Hashem is not lacking anything. So when we see things that seem to point out lack, terrible natural calamities, why didn't he stop it? Realize there's no lack. What you're seeing is exactly how things had to be. V'ulam, devarim eli yidu'um b'kabbalah min ha'avot u'min ha'nevi'im. So where do we really know this stuff? So he says we know this from tradition, from two basic sources. From the Avos and from the Nevi'im. Meaning it comes from Hashem's directly. V'yisigum kol Yisrael b'mamad har Sinai. V'amdu al amitatam b'verur. So at Mamad har Sinai, we all were prophets briefly. So every single Jew had some of this. Some of this higher consciousness. V'limdum levneihem l'dor achar dor. And this is why we could pass to our children generation after generation. Yom hazeh till today. Shekein tziva Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom mipi ha'nevurah. And this is what Hashem told Moshe. Pen tishkach et advarim asher ru'einecha. V'odatim levanecha v'levnei banecha. Lest you forget what your eyes saw and you don't tell them to your children or to your children's children. So let's go back there. So we just said there's a connection between emes and emuna. Emuna, if it's real, comes from emes. It comes from what you've actually seen. So no other people or group of people ever claimed to have a collective prophetic experience. Only Jews. So you have to go back to that. You can't have millions of people being told they experienced something without having somebody say, who, me? I didn't experience anything. So this collective experience is the basis of our emunah. So the emunah comes from emes. Amnam, gam mitzat hachakira hamoftim halimudiyim yetamnu kol ha'inyanim ha'ilu v'yochicham hi'oto min hakoach ha'nimtzot u'masigehem asher anachnu ro'im ve'ineihem al pi chochmat ha'teva handasa v'tchuna v'shar ha'chochmat. So he says, another way you could know Hashem is through observing nature. So even though nature is only a creation, the intricacy of nature, the mathematical perfection of nature, gives you some sense of the perfection of its author. So even though nature doesn't equal God, God leaves his imprint in nature. So now we have two ways of knowing emes, which leads to emunah. One is through tradition, and the other is through nature. So what that means is if you could force yourself every now and again to look at things and to see them closely, to see a flower and to see everything about it, it'll give you emunah. Okay, Amnam, lo navich ata bezeh, ele natzia hakdamot lamitatam, v'nesader hadvarim al boryam, so he's going to say, we're not going to go on and on about nature. He could. He certainly knew nature well enough to unfold its secrets. And, you know, when you look at nature, I don't know anybody who's been at a birth who hasn't been overwhelmed. Okay, it's overwhelming. But he's saying, let's not go there for now. What does he say to go to there? Od sarich sheida, shematzui hazeh yitbarach shmo, hine metziyuto metziyut muchrach, shi'efshar mehadro klal. So he uses the word an objective reality. So let's understand what these means. It sounds like a very intellectual term. So here's an objective reality and here's a subjective reality. You go to the store and let's say it's Froyo. And what's your favorite flavor? So let's say your favorite flavor is pineapple. So you ask the guy behind the counter, do you have pineapple? Do you have pineapple and coconut? Do you have pineapple, coconut, and walnuts, and chocolate, and whatever it is that you like? And he may have it all. Okay, but before that question can even be asked is this Froyo's? Do you sell ice cream? Have I gotten to the right address? So similarly, when you look at nature, if you go into the details of nature, you have to take a firm step into reality, say, wait a minute, it comes from somewhere. So this is what's meant when we say absolute reality. Okay, he goes on. V'chein tzarich sh'yeda sh'metziyuto yitbarach sh'mo metziyut pashut b'li hakavav ribui klal v'chol ha'shlemut kulam nimtza'im bo b'derech pashut. So he uses a word that isn't used the way we use it conventionally. He said Hashem is simple. What do we mean when we say Hashem is simple? Most of the things we experience are made out of many, many components. So if you look at an umbrella, what do you see? You see metal, you see plastic cloth, you see a plastic handle. You see all sorts of things that work together because they were designed to work together. But it's Morkav, it's made of many, many different things. So when you say, what's an umbrella? You have to say, well, it's this and it's that and it's also this and it's also the other. That's called Morkav or complex. The opposite of complex is Pashut, which means simple. Hashem is simple. It means He just is. He just is. He could bring other things about. But He's not all of the different things. He brings them about. But His reality is simple. He is what He is. So that means, again, when you try to describe Hashem, and you talk about components, you're always going to be wrong. And this, by the way, is a problem that people have when lay people study Kabbalah. They'll talk about Hashem's traits and sfirot and all of this. And sometimes it sounds very, very, it sounds almost like idolatry. This is his chesed and that's his gvura. And chesed said to gvura and gvura answered chesed. No. Hashem is absolutely one. But if you could picture this oneness radiating in different shades, that's what you would have. But Hashem in essence is one. Okay, v'chein tzarich sh'yeda sh'metziyuto yitbarach sh'mo metziyut pashut b'li hakavav ribui klal. So it's simple as anything could possibly be, without any kind of more. V'chol ha'shlemut kulam nimtza'im bo b'derech pashut. So everything is within him, but it's simple. Perish. Hinei b'nefesh yimatzu kochot rabim shonim mikol echad mehem gedeiro b'fnei atzmo. Derech mashal. Hazikaron kovach echad. Haratzon kovach acher. Hadmion kovach acher. Ve'en echad me'edha nechnas b'geder chavero klal. Hinei ha'geder hazikaron. Geder echad v'geder haratzon. Geder acher. Ve'en haratzon nechnas b'geder hazikaron v'lo hazikaron b'geder haratzon. V'chin b'kulam. So he gives us an example using a human person and the way we analyze ourselves. We're not Pashut. So you could say, here's a person, and this person has a memory, and they also have will. And memory isn't will, and will isn't memory. They're two separate things. So human being is not simple. Achadon baruch hu einenu bal kochot shenim, but Hashem is one. That means his will and his memory are all focused all of the time. Afal pi shebemet yesh bo inyanim shebanu heim shonim, ki arei hu rotze v'hu chacham v'hu yachol v'hu shalem b'chol hashlimut, amnam amitat metziyuto hu inyan echad hakolel mi amitato v'gdero. So even though you could use different words to describe Hashem, he's whole, he's perfect, he's this, he's that, he loves, but all of these still have one core. So if you're picturing one solid ball, so to speak, that radiates a million different colors, then you know something about Hashem's Achdus. So you could say, why? Why is this important? So the reason is knowing Hashem's Achdus gives you a relationship to Hashem in any situation with any person. Because nothing is really separate from His simplicity. Everything is always bound to Him.
Okay.
So it means even though Hashem is perfect in many different ways, these ways don't limit Hashem's perfection. They're still part of this mysticalness. So now when you say Hashem Echad, well, you're saying that everything is a manifestation of Hashem. So that means every person, every situation, every physical thing. There's no address from which it can come other than Hashem. But Hashem Himself is simple. V'ine be'emet, ha'derech hazeh rechok mi'od mehi haksagoteinu v'tziyureinu. It's very hard for us to grasp this or picture it. V'kemat she'ein lanu derech levaro b'milim l'farsho. We don't even have words.
Why?
Because our vocabulary is all about limitations. Even the word for word, davar, means object, a thing. A thing has borders. If I say this is a book, I mean it's nothing other than a book. So we use all of these words to describe the creation, and we know that they're part of Hashem's greater achdus. We don't have words to describe Hashem's greater achdus. Okay.
Uberuim hinei inyanim rabim v'nifredim. So we see many different creations, but we don't see the Creator as being numerous.
Okay, so now he's going to talk about the concept of there being some other force together with Hashem. So you could say, why? Why would anybody normal think this? So in virtually all other religious systems, they do. They see the distance between Hashem's unknowable unity and this world is so vast that He has to use different mediums to come down to us. This is what they think. So let's hear what we say.
Ulam kvar hekdamu she'amitat metziyato yitbarach shmo eino maseget ve'en lakish mimenu she'ro'im beruim al habore yitbarach shmo.
So the first thing is we begin with a little bit of humility. We say we're not going to get it fully. So when they're going to say you don't know what you're talking about, we'll say you're right. We don't. And we can't and we won't. So he says, let's go back to nature. So even though he's telling us to begin with, you're not going to get it through nature. But he says, but look at nature. When you take things back, you always come back to the first cause. You always come back there. So that means that there is a first cause. So if you want to say that the first cause didn't bring anything about, so how did everything get there? So Hashem is the cause and everything else is the result. He tells us more.
וממה שצריך שידע עוד, שמצוי הזה יתברך שמו מוכרח שיהיה אחד ולא יותר.
He says, how do you know Hashem is one and not many? Maybe there are many Godheads. What's the problem? When you talk about numbers, you're talking about limitations. You can't have two infinities. Where does infinity one end? Where does infinity two begin? So talking about numbers certainly doesn't work. So that means that all of the different theologies that work on numbers are false.
Nimtza.
So now we're summing up. There are six things we know. One, Amita Mitziyato Yitbarach Shmo, that He's true. Two, Shlemuto, He's whole. Third, Hechvach Mitziyato, He has to be because everything else is.
היות בלתי נתלה בזולתו, he's not depending on anything else, ופשיטתו ויחודו, and he's simple and unified. Okay, so now we could talk about God. So all of this seems very deep, very distant from us. But the fact is, every time you say the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, it should mean something. So going as deep as your own mind will take you into this can change you. Now he's going to now talk about, not Hashem, but the reason for his creating a world, which is much closer to what we are. So up to the second chapter, Chelek Echad, Perek Sheni. Hine ha-tachlit bevriyah haya lativ mituvo yitbarach shemo lezulato. Hashem's purpose in creating is to benefit us. Hashem was perfect before that. He is not there to benefit himself. He's there to benefit us. Vine tir'eh. He's perfect. He's not lacking anything. There's nothing whole other than him. So the other kinds of wholeness we have are only relative, they're not real. So when Hashem decided he's going to benefit us, he's going to create a good world, okay, what would he do? So he says the first thing, lo yaspik lo beyoto heitiv ketzatov. He's not going to only give a little goodness. Beyoto meitiv tach letatov, shefshad leburum sheyekablo. He's going to give as much goodness as the creation could possibly absorb. So there's no limitation on how much goodness Hashem wants to give. So here are some words that we sometimes find ourselves tripping over. Well, nobody can have everything. Says who? Who says you can't have everything? Well, that's the way it is. Who says that's the way it is? Hashem could do whatever he wants to do, and his goal is to benefit maximally. Now that raises many questions, since we don't always perceive the world as being so good, but we're going there. Uvehiyoto, hu levado yitbarach shemo, tov ha'amiti. He is the essential goodness. Lo yistapek cheftzo ha'tov, el biyoto mehane lezulato b'tov ha'hu, atzmo, shubo yitbarach, somon mitzad atzmo, shu ha'tov ha'shalem ha'amiti. Says, if he wants to benefit others, he's going to give us something of that inherent goodness. So I want you to think about what people want the most. There are lots of people, if you say, what do you want the most? The answer is, I want a car, or I want to get rid of my mortgage, or I want finally to get a shidduch, or whatever it is. But, and these are all real. I'm not saying that these things aren't real. But if you were to take this one step deeper and say, and what will you feel when you have it? What will you feel when you have it? I'll feel successful, I'll feel connected, I'll feel whole. Hashem wants to give you those feelings, which are a dimension of what he is. So all of the different things that Hashem created in the world are there to make it possible for us to get something of his goodness. Okay, v'hine mitzad acher hatov hazeh I efshar shimatze elabo. Says this objective goodness is only in him, not in the creations. The creations are all what? Are all lacking. They're all small. So Hashem had to make it if he wants to achieve this goal. He had to achieve it by giving us something of him that we could attach to Hashem himself. So again, let's go back to the car, the shidduch, the paid mortgage. So if what you want is a feeling of wholeness, if you want is a feeling of not worrying, if what you want is connection, all of these have to do with Hashem. They come to you through something else. But in the end, it's Hashem himself that you're searching for. So, Boto Ashir, Shef Shalem, Shidaku, each person can attach to Hashem according to what they're able to get. ואז נמצאו שמה שמצד עצמם אי אפשר שיתארו בשלמותו יתברך שמו, הנה מצד דקווה כתומבו היגה עליהם, באותו שיר שאפשר לתאר בשלמותה היא מצד היותם מתדבקים בו יתברך שמו.
So even if you start off lacking, but you move towards him, so you change. So your capacity for experience something of this wholeness changes with you. So I want to give you an illustration of what this looks like. Picture a kid who works for Yad Eliezer. Now what do kids do? They go around Thursday night to different homes and they ask for either money or food for Yad Eliezer. Let's say people give them. What's he experiencing? He's experiencing the part of him that's whole and holy. So obviously it's not absolute because he's only a child. How much could he experience? But Hashem is taking him there. So it's much, much more in terms of his being affected than the food will affect the poor person. The poor person will eat the food and then it's finished. But the child who learned how to attach to the higher self within him, that's eternal.
ונמצא היותו כוונתו יתברך שמו בבריאות שברא לברוא מי שיהיה נהנה בטובו יתברך שמו ואותו דרך שאפשר להנות ממנו.
So Hashem on his side, and he completes this little part here, wants everyone to have the maximum that they could have. Now he's going to take this a little bit further.
אולם גזרה חכמתו של להיות הטוב שלם ראוי שיהיה הנהנה בו בעל הטוב ההוא, פירוש שיקנה הטוב בעצמו, ולא שיתלווה בו הטוב בדרך מקרה.
Now for a person to experience their own goodness, they have to choose it. If it's forced on them, they don't feel anything. So I want you to observe this. Suppose you have a situation where you have 10 children, and they're all given something to give out. So how much simcha will they have? So here are three possibilities. If it requires some sort of sacrifice, but not overwhelming, they'll have maximum. If it doesn't require any sacrifice, but it requires choice, they'll have the second. If it's automatic, like they can't pass the door unless they give the object, they have no joy, because there's no interchange. The interchange is what generates the joy. So Hashem is going to give people opportunities to experience their own goodness. So let's take a break from what we're learning for a moment. And I want you to think. Take out a paper, and this would be good for you for these shiurim, and write down three ways in which Hashem pushed you to the edge and made you experience your own goodness by not making it easy for you, and how you felt about it.
Okay, so v'tiresh is in a krakatzat mitdamut b'shir efshar shlemutei et barach shmo. So you become a little bit like Hashem. Ki yinehu yet barach shmo shalem batzmo. Hashem is intrinsically whole.
Because of his being constructed that way, not by response to something else.
So there's no failing at all.
So although we say Hashem does give us something of him, we're not absolutely God. We always come back to our own chesronus. We only come back to our own ishlemus. So what are we supposed to do with this? So option A is get depressed. Option B is to say, this is where I'm supposed to be at this minute, and now I could pick up from where I was and move further.
Ach, li damelt li ze miketzat, tzavich shlefachot yehu hakoneh hashlemut ve'en amitat inyanov machriach lo.
Says the minimum level is that you have to notice your own faults and try to get past them. So when you're in the fairyland of saying, I have no faults, that guarantees you'll have none of the joy of shlemus. So acknowledging your fault and saying, I'm going to fly with it anyway, that's the path to the simcha that Hashem has for each of us. Okay, so I'm going to end with that today, and we'll have more next time.